Our theme tonight is worship, and these words from Paul are going to be our takeaway verse tonight. We've no long reading, but I thought this Bible verse was a really good one that would just encapsulate for us an idea of what we're trying to take away tonight. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. So that verse, it's taken from Romans 12, verse 1, and is Paul's words to us. The NIV kind of gives it a little heading, a living sacrifice. And that verse talks about true and proper worship. But what that got me thinking was, well, I need to know what worship is, first of all, before I can ensure that my worship is true and my worship is proper. So my first question tonight is, what is true worship? We all regularly hear the term, don't we, in songs, in Bible verses, in testimonies. We probably use it. Psalm 96, verse 9 instructs us very clearly, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, fear before him all the earth. It's there, it's clear in the scriptures. So we hear it, but do we understand it? Our title tonight is Embrace Worship. And if we want to embrace worship, then clearly we need to know just what it is that we're embracing, what it is that we're taking on board. So I thought, what comes to mind when somebody says worship? What's instantly there? What do you think of if somebody says, what's worship? Anybody want to share what came to mind when they were thinking of worship? Mary, what was yours?
PowerPoint.
PowerPoint, so the thing in town that young people go to. And what's kind of the key thing there, do you think, that you take away from that?
Music and worship.
The music and the songs, yeah. And being part of that. Excellent. Phil, do you want to?
Worship for me is a tingling sense of God's presence, and that can be through anything at any time. But not often enough.
Not often enough. We'll try and help you tonight to embrace that tingling.
I just was saying that the word comes with the word worth, worship. And we can think lots of other things have worth. Things in our lives have worth. Family, home, good career. But the only one who really should be worshipped for his worth is God.
Bruce?
What came to mind? Jesus saying, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So truth, that's the word of God, the teaching of Jesus. Spirit is that which God gives us.
I'm not a Paul Daniels, so I couldn't kind of do mind reading and guess what it was that you were all going to say. But I tried to come up with some things that I thought you might say. Singing. Song. I think a lot of people, when they first hear the word worship, think of our worship time, the singing that we do. Maybe serving the coffee can be an act of worship, doing something practical, helping out with the youth, with holiday club. These kind of things can all be acts of worship. Giving to charities. All these things are really important expressions of our worship. But what we need to suggest, I think, tonight is that true worship goes deeper than simply doing. It's a lifestyle. It's how we go about doing these things. It's how, as Liz was saying, we show and reflect the worth of God and how much he deserves our worship and our time and our energy and our all in all beyond the doing or the singing. And certainly worship isn't just what happens here in church. It's not just what happens on a Sunday. Because what I've realized from reading around this a little bit this week is that worship is a matter of the heart. And assuming that we take our hearts with us everywhere we go and we don't leave them here on a Sunday, then that means that worship is always. And worship is everywhere that we are. Worship can be up Christofferson Hill. Worship can be playing for our sports team. Worship can be spending time with our families if worship is a matter of our hearts. So how we approach these things, I think, is the key to honoring God through worship. A definition that I came upon that I found very helpful again this week, and this kind of encapsulates to me this idea of true and proper worship, comes from Webster's Dictionary. And it says quite simply, worship is to honor with extravagant love and extreme submission. They're big words, aren't they? Extravagant and extreme. And I wonder just how often in our daily lives do we actually see ourselves loving extravagantly? How often are we reminded of God's worth, that we are called to love him extravagantly in every single area of our lives? Not just coming here and singing the right words on Sunday, but going so much deeper than that. Or how often are we prepared to live in extreme submission? See, here's the thing. It really doesn't matter if we don't like the choice of music on a Sunday morning or we don't like one of the songs. Because if our hearts are overflowing with extravagant love for God, we'll just submit ourselves and sing and pour ourselves out in worship to him and respond. And it doesn't matter if we are exhausted after a really busy week, because out of submission, extreme submission to that God whom we serve, we will go out in the city and we will serve soup to the homeless from the back of the care van, because that shows a heart of worship. But let me just kind of reiterate there, worship isn't simply doing these things, it's how we do them and the attitude with which we do them. So let's just focus for a moment on the how rather than the what. What is true worship? First, true worship is defined by the priority we place on who God is in our lives. Again, directly linked with what was said at the start, the worth of God, the worthiness of God. He needs to be our priority. Where is God on our list of priorities today? How long is our to-do list? Is God on that list? Will he be on the list tomorrow? I don't know about you, but I often find Monday's to-do list is a bit longer than Sunday's. And maybe God features quite nicely on Sunday's to-do list. What I want us to ask ourselves is, will God still be high on that priority list and that to-do list tomorrow? Will we remember extravagant love and extreme submission and worship in him tomorrow? Or does he get pushed down the list a wee bit? Second, true worship is a matter of the heart, and that is expressed through a lifestyle of holiness. So what are our hearts telling us today? Are our hearts prompting us to do something that could serve in God's kingdom? Listen to your heart, listen to God's voice. Is he prompting you to live a lifestyle of holiness for him? And thirdly, we need to actively choose to use our lives to live for God in worship, but not to have a rigid plan. We need to be ready to submit, extreme submission. So whatever it is in our lives where we are thinking, I can work for God here, I can do this here, I want to do this for God, make sure you're talking to God about it and asking him, how can I worship you in this? Is this your will for my life? Let him shape you, let him use you. Extreme submission and extravagant love. I said about that to-do list and how is Monday's list looking. What I'd love to see happening is you guys just thinking about that for a couple of minutes, about what's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, what's that going to bring for you in your weeks? How's your week shaping up? And try if you can to help each other find a way and talk through, how can I show love and submission this week? How, wherever I am, at home, at work, volunteering in the community, how can you help each other find a way to worship God this week? Try and support each other, encourage each other, and help each other unpick just a little bit, how can we make a difference? But to finish, I was thinking about how. How shall we worship this week? However you've decided you could do something, there were three words that kind of came to me that I thought were important. First of all, that we should strive to do it willingly, to have willing hearts, willing, ready, listening, to be submissive to what God wants us to do. But also, we want to do it with joy. We want to feel joyful in our hearts that we're doing a good thing, that we're making a difference. And finally, that we're doing it with God as our number one priority. We're not doing this for what I'm going to get out of it or how I'm going to look. We're doing it ultimately to worship the one who is completely worthy. Not because of what he's done for us, but just because of who he is. That we just want to live worshipful lives this week. As I close, there was one thing that I discovered in my reading this week, and it really encouraged me. It was from a website, and it was called The Promise of Worship. And it was this sense that God, in all of his glory, responds to us through worship. When we worship God with love and submission, he will come and meet with us. The God of glory, the God who made this amazing world, the God of everything, will come and meet with us exactly where we are. Now, notice it doesn't say that if we worship God, we'll instantly feel amazing. And it didn't say if we worship God, all our burdens will suddenly be lifted. No, it said that when we worship God with love and submission, he will come and he will meet with us. So my prayer tonight as I close is that this week he will come and he will meet with all of us wherever we are, drinking coffee with friends, working with our youth, listening in a classroom, playing cricket, wherever you are. My prayer is that this week, God Almighty, as you strive to live your life to worship him, will come and meet you where you are. Amen.